What's going on, Todd?
Hey, Nick, what's up, brother?
Not a whole lot, man. How are you?
Good. Really good. Really, really, really good. I mean, you know, not that good. I don't want to get braggy.
Yeah. What, you been staying busy?
Gosh, yes. Hey, everybody, this is Todd Conklin, and it's the Pre-Accident Investigation Podcast. And you can tell by the intro that I'm in a pretty good mood, so you picked a good day to listen. You also picked a good day to hang out with Nick Peasley, who, if you don't remember, was on the pod. Man, I should have asked him. It all kind of runs together. But I think he was on the pod maybe 2 years ago, maybe even a little longer. And I wanted to talk to him then in the olden days because he was a brand new wet behind the ears, green at the gills, safety professional jumping into the field. And I, you know, that's just an interesting conversation to hear the joy and the excitement about what's about to happen. And they're not beaten down by the system or the man. The man has not beaten them down. And to hear that kind of joy, it's really fun. The cool thing is that Nick contacted me and said, you know, I'd like to sort of add some things to what I talked about the first time. And I said, yeah, that's a really good idea that I didn't think of, but you did. And I'm all about it. So I'll act like it's my idea. Let's go with that. If anyone asks, this is totally my idea. But it was really fun to get together and talk to Nick about really what he's learned so far and where he is on his career. Pretty cool. I think you'll dig the conversation because it's diggable. I mean, it's really cool. How are you? How are things going? Are you just kind of forging ahead and thinking about the future? All the excitement that's out there in the world that is the world. It's getting crazy. I mean, it's getting, I don't know how to say it other than it's just getting crazy. But nonetheless, it's what we got. Think about September, the 10th, 11th, and 12th. We're going to have a little conference in Santa Fe, which will involve bike riding. So just be ready because there will be bikes. I promise you that. And I'll tell you more about it. If you need more, contact us. But we're throwing together the old band and hitting the streets. So that's going to be fun as well. As for me, life is grand. I just have very few complaints. I'm really interested, kind of working on a new project, a kind of Project X2. You'll hear more about it as we progress, but it's been really interesting because I'm really fixated on the technology right now that's out there to help us as safety professionals do things. We'll talk more about this. In fact, I've got some queries out for some people to talk to on the pod about some of this technology and how they see it move. Now, I'm not really talking about like wearables or that kind of technology. That's interesting, but I'm really interested in how artificial intelligence will have influence on things like procedure writing, and it will. I promise you it will. Or policies and processes, rules and regulations. That, I think, would be an interesting conversation. But that's coming up because at this point, it's kind of hard to find people who want to talk about it and not go completely down to Nerd Central. I'm not that interested in how they develop and program this. I know it's interesting and there are people who love that, but it's just not, I'm not that guy. And remember, I used to manage a huge, huge group of developers. So I've got a little background in how to have conversations with those people. It's just that I'm more interested in the potential impact it has both socially and professionally on what we're doing. Other than that, super, super, super glad to be here. Man, I cannot believe how much feedback the podcast on forgiveness had. And if you remember that, it was a while ago, but that's so interesting to me that that podcast would have even now this impact. And that's always a cool part of doing the podcast. You know, don't you, that the podcast only works because you listen. And it only works because you talk about, this is what we ought to be talking about. How come you're not talking to this person? How come you're not talking about this topic? Your input matters immensely. The questions you ask matter immensely. All those things make a huge difference. And they're all kind of slowly in the grind getting developed. The problem is I don't have, I mean, I could spend a lot of time but I don't have a lot of time because, you know, this is kind of a fun thing to do. And the minute this stops being fun, well, then there you'll have to listen to reruns of the pre-accident investigation podcast. But no worries yet, because it's still really fun. And I've said this to you before, but I'm stunned at the – I thought there would be a lack of things to talk about at some point. You know, you'd kind of run out of crap. Man, that does not seem to be the problem at any level. So without much further ado, because I can ado a long time, but I'm not sure the ado has much value, at least not compared to the conversation that we're about to have. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. It always helps. Invite people to listen. That's incredibly valuable. And just keep doing what you're doing. That seems to have the most impact of all. Let's have a chat with Nick. This is Nick's second time on the pod, but he's got lots to share. So this is A Young Professional Part 2. Enters the world in which we work every stinking day.
Happy to be back and happy that you are allowing me to have another opportunity.
Well, it's good to have you on. So what's changed? What's new? What have you learned since we last spoke?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've learned an absolute tremendous amount, Todd. So,
okay, start at the beginning and don't skip anything. Go.
So the general direction where I was wanting to kind of head with this is that I know that there are a lot of younger safety professionals and older safety professionals that maybe want to get more involved. And I was here myself a couple of years ago as to I really wanted to expand my knowledge in the safety profession and meet other people and expand my network. But now I work for a company that really allows me to do that, Sunbelt. And I think that I have been allowed to have a bunch of different opportunities within the safety profession to really expand my knowledge. But I'm also aware of the other side of that, where there are a lot of people, especially younger professionals out there, that maybe don't get that opportunity. And I wanted to share with those individuals, just there's a couple different things, there are a couple different organizations out there that if you aren't already a part of or haven't attended a couple of their events, I really, really think that that would help you, or getting involved in these different organizations would help that person or individual who maybe isn't certain as to how to get there, help them expand their knowledge.
So which one of those professional organizations are you liking?
So I like a couple different. I think the NSC, so the National Safety Council, and then obviously the ASSP. So we hear a lot about those two different organizations, and I love them both. The National Safety Council, they actually just had an event. I believe you were there at Louisville, Kentucky. There's a lot, they bring a lot of different speakers in to their events, and you get a lot of different information and kind of are able to keep your hand on the pulse when it comes to the safety profession as a whole by attending that event. And I think that unfortunately, there's not enough people who get exposed to those types of event. And luckily, my company, like I said, who I work for in Sunbelt, they allow me to attend those types of things and see what's going on. But I think that if you aren't aware of the National Safety Council, or you aren't, or you haven't been involved with them, it's a really, really, really unbelievable organization to get involved with, even if it's just attending an event and hearing what other people have to say.
If you only could afford one, which one would you pick?
I would say the National Safety Council.
Okay.
The NSC. So
Well, what's the difference between NSC and ASSP in your mind?
Well, I think that the difference between the NSC and the ASSP, in my mind, is although the ASSP has quite a bit more going on at a local level in the chapters that they have, I think the National Safety Council does a really good job of bringing in leaders and people from across the globe and giving you, like I said, that hand on the pulse. We don't want our hand on the pulse just at a local level. We want to be able to see what's going on from across the globe and different initiatives that people are taking or organizations are taking to keep their people safe and mitigate those exposures for their employees. And I think the NSC does an unbelievable job of that. And just picking who they pick to have speak at those events, they do a really good job.
What do you think about making professional friends?
I think making professional friends is a fantastic opportunity for anyone in the safety profession to expand their knowledge.
Man. So how do you do it? How do you go out and meet other safety people? Hang out at the safety bar?
Exactly. Well, you have to get out of your comfort zone a little bit, I think. One, the first and foremost, most important thing is developing those relationships with people inside of your organization and bouncing different ideas off of different safety professionals within your organization. But if you do go to a National Safety Council event, you want to get out and you want to talk to different people. Like I said, you have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to attend those events and you have to make sure that you're open and kind of adaptable to what those different people are saying and talking about. And I was not a very personable person in my younger days. And I think that if I would have been, that would have helped me develop a broader network of safety professionals that I could bounce things off of. And I'm getting around to it now. But yeah, going back to your initial question, I think you have to get out of your comfort zone whenever you attend those types of events or you get the opportunity to, and just mingle with everybody and let them know what you're doing and get to know what they're doing.
What's your gut on like finding people locally, calling other companies and sort of just introducing yourself to the other safety professionals in your town or in your county or in your state even? I mean, that works too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think it definitely works. And I think how I have been able to do that is more so through like the ASSP local chapter, because there's a lot of like-minded individuals in the greater Louisville area that are very open to talking. And that was just my foot in the door. But 100% what you're saying, Todd, I don't think you should be afraid ever to get out, reach out, or try and expand your network by just picking up the phone and finding some individuals who you think or who you hear could potentially help you expand your knowledge.
So very cool. Networking is a really good lesson, and that's a really good place to start. What else have you learned? What else has changed? Talk to me about what's exciting to you now.
What did you find the most beneficial, Todd? Oh, I've wanted to ask you that for a while.
So that's a really good question. I think almost 100% it was peers. It was making friends and hanging out with them. You meet them at conferences. You meet them at meetings, but you become kind of friends. And what's crazy, and you're probably seeing this, is that in our profession, it's really normal to know people 20, 25 years. I mean, it's normal. I mean, you just know all these people, and that becomes a really cool resource because you can get together and talk about what's terrible and how hard it is and how, you know, bosses care about profit more than people. I mean, this is the normal stuff, but also it's such a great resource when something happens or when you need to write a proposal or you have an event. I mean, it's a really good place to draw to, and it's a pretty good community. The peer community that's been created around safety, it, to a great extent, is good because it's so necessary. Because oftentimes safety people are kind of onesie twosies in their company. So you don't have a lot of people in your company to hang out with, you know, and that's fine. I mean, that works well. Or oftentimes you work individually with crews and you're traveling quite a bit. So having other people to call and making friends and then kind of maintaining those relationships, because it's something, and I bet you're learning this, Nick, you really have to put some work in those relationships. You have to give and take and, you know, bring things to the table, and it's kind of fun though. But I think that's, in my mind, that was what was most important.
Yeah.
And most fun.
I was going to say, and I've to touch on that. I mean, I know that there, what I've learned, like you said, I'm kind of hopefully catching on to these types of things. And there are a lot of people out there who know a heck of a lot more than I do.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of safety professionals, unfortunately, that maybe just don't hear that or don't get to see that. And I've really got to experience that within my organization, 100%. There's some unbelievable people, but also outside.
Yeah.
And I think that if you don't open up your network or you don't open up those conversations, because I never want to get isolated as far as only thinking within one area. And I think it's really helpful as a safety professional in general to be able to have those friends and bounce those ideas off.
I agree completely. And that kind of humility is really valuable. The one thing that's cool about safety is that not knowing the answer is a good thing, not a bad thing. Because if I don't know, if somebody comes and asks me a question, I don't know the answer. The cool thing about that is I'll go out and find it. You know, and that gives me the opportunity to get smarter, which means I'm always learning and always developing. And that's been interesting to me. What's been so fun in my career is how what I think has changed. Have you seen that? Like I came in with one set of ideas.
Yeah.
I'm definitely leaving with a complete different set of ideas.
Yeah. How your perception changes over time.
Oh,
about what's going on.
Hugely. I mean, hugely. Like, almost belief systems change. It's really weird.
And do you think that's made you a better safety professional?
Sure.
Todd?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think it, yeah, I don't think it makes you worse, but I definitely think it makes you better. But I mean, just the way you go in kind of thinking the worker's what you have to fix. And the longer you're in this world, the more you realize the worker is not the problem. The worker's the solution, and that they understand risk and control way better than anybody in our job or in management would ever understand, just because they do it every single day. And in building and maintaining those relationships in the field are vital. I mean, that's how success is won and lost. And what you're doing is you're constantly, pretty genuinely too, it's not fake, you're building these relationships and trust so that they trust you and you trust them. And it's kind of mutually beneficial. It works for both directions.
Yeah. Expectation versus reality is kind of how I would have explained that. As far as when I first came in out of college, what I expected and what actually was going on were two completely different things. And stepping back to those organizations, they've just really helped me understand what's going on at a global level and what things or how to treat people and how to interact with people and meet them where they are at, right? And I think that that has probably been the most beneficial thing for me, is just to take that knowledge and then implement that when I'm going out and I'm having conversations with employees.
So what's most interesting to you?
Oh, man. I think that people are complex. People are unbelievably complex. I think I said
that. Oh, you can say that again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I said that on the last pod too, but it just never ceases to amaze me how unbelievably cool some people's stories are that you would never expect to have a conversation, and that opening up the door with maybe a field employee can expand into a relationship that sets for 15, 20 years. And I think that we get to talk to so many different people with so many different job functions that sometimes I forget how important, just how complex a person is. And every once in a while, you have a conversation where you just go, holy smokes. I love my profession. I love that I have the ability to have these types of conversations, but I don't think I will ever fully have my hands around how complex people really are.
Yeah. And that never goes away. and it just gets more interesting. Kind of, that's cool. Who are you following? Who are you watching?
Well, don't want to tap you on the shoulder, but I do follow you quite a bit.
I mean, you got to get a hobby. Don't follow me.
Yeah. Lorraine Martin, I do follow her as well. She's the president of the National Safety Council. I think, like I said, they've done an unbelievable job. I think that she's just done a really good job of opening up the doors to younger individuals or people who are new to the profession. And I think that's really important if we want this career, this profession to develop. In 10 or 20 years, we have to open up the door to the next generation. And I think that they've really done a good job. But I'm always open to anybody. I think that as the years go on, hopefully I'll be following a lot of different people, just because there will be new key initiatives, people doing really cool things. And I want to make sure that I have or keep my mind open to adapting to whoever's talking about the newest, latest, greatest thing.
Have you noticed, as you are in the profession longer, that your role at the leadership table is changing?
It is.
Talk to me about that. Because I actually think that's incredibly important, that they see you as a peer and that you have a loud and clear voice and they invite you to the table.
Yeah. It's a lot of self-reflection for myself as well. I think that just the ability that I have to listen to individuals has helped me out a lot in my career. But as I grow within Sunbelt Rentals, hopefully for the rest of my life, or as a safety professional in general, I think that what you're saying, as far as it does allow you to have those conversations in a more deep way with that leadership team as you grow as a professional. And I think that I know there's lots of companies out there that are doing it, but we do a really good job at Sunbelt as far as bouncing those types of conversations off of, whether you're a regional safety manager or an executive leader, we give everybody a voice at the table. And that's really extremely important.
So what tips would you share with new people coming into the field about that, creating a voice at the table? What have you learned? What's worked for you? What's made it easier?
I would say build it in somewhere. We talk about processes all the time. Build in yourself the time to meet new people and to expand your knowledge. Because a lot of people, if they don't build in that time, it's a fast-paced business that we are in, they won't allow themselves to go out of their way to go meet new people or expand their knowledge. And I think that what helped me the most was I have a great group of friends back in college. We all graduated from the safety program that I keep in touch with. But you got to, like I said, get out of your comfort zone and do it early, do it often, like presenting. If you don't speak up early, you're not as likely to talk throughout the presentation. I think if you don't get involved in those organizations early on in your career, you won't have as long to develop those relationships with the people you meet.
That's actually that's a very astute observation. Nice work. Okay. Now let's talk about something a little less fun, but important. What do you advise a young safety professional to think, to feel, to do after something bad's happened?
I think you have to reflect. You really have to reflect as to why things went wrong. And I think having a manager or a boss who allows you to fail, but then coaches you through that failure is extremely important. And as a younger safety professional, when you're looking for a position right out of college, that's something that you really should be looking for is, hey, would this person who is overseeing me allow me to fail, but then not just sweep it under the rug, coach me through that failure and help me understand why I failed? I think that has got to be, at least in my eyes, the most important thing as a young safety professional when it comes to failure. I think we all have to have the ability to fail, but how we get through that failure and stop it from happening or reoccurring is really, really important. And I think that really kind of focuses on who you have as a leader and who is developing you and if they allow that to happen.
And I think it's really important, Nick, to remember that failure is not the opposite of success.
Yeah.
Failure is actually a really important component of being successful. And that the way we get better in any profession, but especially ours, is you fail, you learn, and you're way smarter the next time it happens because you went through that failure cycle. So that's kind of cool, but you don't get to pick your boss. How much influence do you have over creating an environment with your boss that allows you to speak freely, to develop and learn, and to fail safely?
I think getting out of your comfort zone a little bit, going back to that, you have to be able to get out of your comfort zone and have those conversations if that person who is leading you isn't willing to help coach you. I think that's very hard to do as a young safety professional, but I think the return on your investment for anyone who's listening, if you're a younger safety professional, to make sure that you have those conversations when you start that job and say, these are my expectations as to what I would like to do or where I would like to get to within this time frame. And I'm not just talking about compensation or title. I'm talking about personal or professional growth within the role that I have at this company. And I think that you will find out a lot about who your leader is when it comes to that. Like I said, I've been unbelievably fortunate with the people who have led me. They've all allowed me to fail, and they've all allowed me, or at least to have that conversation after that failure.
But it means you have to think about your career. You have to think about where you want to go and what you want to do, which is really smart. I mean, but sometimes when you're young, that seems like the farthest thing in your mind. It's surviving the day, not thinking about, you know, how will this position me? But all those are really important questions.
Yeah, you're almost just trying to get by, right?
Right. Well, you are in a way.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel the imposter syndrome a little bit, you know, well, maybe I don't really know. The one piece of advice I would give, and it'd be curious to see what you think, is you often don't know. There's never going to be a time where you know. Like I'm relatively convinced you'll never think, I now know everything I need. But I mean, it's just not like that. So you have to be comfortable learning. And I actually think that's what you mean, although correct me if I'm wrong, when you say get out of the comfort zone, is what you're really telling the people is that you need to be comfortable in learning new things. And in order to learn new things, you have to realize you don't know stuff. I mean, you got to start from someplace, and you're going to start from where you are.
And it's okay. Like you said, Todd, it is okay to be wrong. I can't stress that enough. I am not always going to be right. I am 100% aware of that. But like you said, it is okay to be wrong. You just have to learn from that mistake and move on. I mean, we hear that over and over again, not just within the safety profession, but it's really, really important to develop yourself when those shortcomings to turn those into successes moving forward.
So what do you see coming in the future? What do you, because you have a different pulse on the profession than I do, certainly. What are you seeing? What's the future hold for us? How's the job going to change?
That's a really tough question, Todd.
Oh, I got a million tough questions. That's never the problem.
I think, I don't know necessarily how I see it in 15 or 20 years, but I think that where the profession is going, especially with this group of people within the last 5, 10, 15 years who you've really been a huge part of, and thinking or emphasizing how important the person is instead of just the compliance aspect of safety. I think that we're just going to continue to see that grow, and we're going to continue, give it 5, 10 years, the leaders of people in the safety profession, I think that you will see, is going to be unbelievable. I think that the more knowledge that we gain as a whole within the safety profession, you're just going to see those leaders grow and grow and grow. And I think I'm really excited to see where it goes, because I've met some incredible people. And I think that the more people who have knowledge, or the more people who bounce things off of each other and continue to grow, which maybe we didn't have, or we weren't as exposed to it 25 years ago, I think that's just going to help us develop as a profession. And it's probably not all going to be good. There's probably going to be some bad along with that as well. But I think for the most part, it's exciting to see where it goes, and just how companies are emphasizing the role of safety and understanding that, hey, you know what? Yeah, gosh darn it. People are complex, and we have to maybe take a step back and understand that our employees are the most valuable part of our business, and we need to help and support them rather than just force some compliance down their throat.
What'd I tell you? Didn't you like it? I thought you would. I knew you would. It's refreshing. And Nick is he's got it dialed in. I mean, he's just a together dude, and it's a treat to get to hang out with him. And it's funny, when we finished the pod, he said, "Who should I be talking to? Who should I be hanging out?" And I gave him some of your names. So be ready, because he may call you, because he's just so interested in stepping out of his comfort zone, which you guys knew every time he said it was code word for building an environment where it's okay to learn. Right. And in order to do that, you've got to build an environment where it's safe to learn, where it's meaningful to learn, where the incentive is on getting smarter, on learning, and you see the benefit of learning. And that idea of stepping out of the comfort zone, that's as good a way to talk about it as any. In fact, it's when you align it with like Amy Edmondson's work on psychological safety, or all the work you've done in your organizations for culture and to build an environment that's, it's okay to tell the truth. That is the idea of stepping out of your comfort zone. And so that, in essence, kind of paid for the pod itself. That was a brilliant way to think about it. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it greatly. I hope you had fun. It was a pretty fun podcast. I mean, if you make a list of podcasts that are fun, this one's pretty high up there. And it's also super interesting and refreshing. And who doesn't want that? I mean, that's a part of it. Learn something new every single day. Step out of your comfort zone. Have fun. Be kind to each other. Check in on one another. And for goodness sakes, you guys, be safe.